This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on the program today Representative Robert T. Ashmore, Democrat from South Carolina. Mr. Ashmore is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and on this program, we'd like to continue our discussion of the proposed civil rights legislation. Mr. Ashmore, it's a real pleasure to welcome you.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here indeed.
Mr. Ashmore, we've been discussing on the past several programs the proposed Civil Rights Act, which has come from the Committee on the Judiciary. As a member of that committee, I'd like to get your views on it. We've been told by various news media that this act actually represents a compromise, that it is a so-called moderate piece of legislation. Is this actually the case?
It is anything but moderate. If it was compromised at all, it was done as a matter of camouflage. There were a few sentences and probably a few provisions stricken from the original bill and changed a little bit, but in most instances when they were reinserted on the different language, they were just as strong, and in some instances were even stronger, certainly by implication if not by direct specification as set forth in the bill. It is not a moderate bill. It is one of the strongest, in fact it is the strongest bill in my opinion, that this Congress has ever been requested to pass upon.
Now, Mr. Ashmore, I know that you've been in correspondence with concerned citizens from all over the country, and you've had an opportunity to talk here in Washington with your colleagues from various parts of the nation. Do you believe that many Americans have the idea that this act would apply only to a limited geographical region of our country? Do you believe that most Americans feel that, well, after all, this civil rights bill is aimed primarily at the South, so why should we in the North or West be worried about it?
Yes, I'm afraid that that is the sentiment in many areas of the country, and it is certainly a false impression. It applies to all Americans, wherever they might reside, and it applies to almost every American, regardless of what he does, where he lives, whatever his vocation in life might be. It may apply to more people in the South because of the race question, the race problem, but that is not all that is involved by any sense of the word. It applies to and touches almost every one of us in some manner or other. When the bill is, if it is passed in its present form, it is simply unbelievable what it does to the people of this country. And I regret very much that so few people in the country realize the meaning of it, realize what is concealed in this bill. And I would say that the average lawyer does not know what is in the bill, because not because of his inability to understand it, but because of the fact that he has not studied it, and because of the fact that it has not been analyzed and discussed and amended and debated by even the 35 lawyers who are members of the House Judiciary Committee where the bill was reported. It was railroaded through this committee. We were not permitted to offer one single amendment to the bill. It was a rush job, and it had to be gotten out on a certain date by a certain hour, and I've never seen such confusion in my life. The members of the committee, and I happen to be a member of that committee, as I believe you stated, were refused the right to offer an amendment, even to offer an amendment to provide for a trial by jury when a man was accused of violating some provision of this law. We were simply amazed, and I am alarmed today that the people do not know what the bill contains. I would say that there's not one person in 1,000 in this country that really understands the meaning of this legislation as it applies across the board to people in every section of this land. When I say not one in 1,000, I'm including judges and lawyers and legislators and mayors and members of municipal authorities and county commissioners and county delegations in the General Assembly of that state. Wherever you go, on an average, there's not one in a thousand who realize it, because they couldn't realize and know what it contains without a complete and thorough study and analysis. I wish the lawyers in this country would take it upon themselves to inform the people in their communities locally what the bill contains. And if any lawyer does not know, and I know that there are plenty who do not know, I wish they would write to our committee or write to me or any member of the committee, and we will send them the information as we have analyzed it in our minority report and also in the majority report. Read what has been done and they will know, and that's the only way you can know.
Congressman Ashmore, some observers of our contemporary political scene have characterized our government today as being a government by label. That is, because this bill is labeled a Civil Rights Act, it is therefore considered good by a certain group of persons. And conversely, by your opposition to this bill, you are automatically branding yourself, in their minds at least, as a right-wing extremist.
That is true, and I want to say that I am not a right-wing extremist. I try to stay in the middle of the road. I certainly am not a left-wing extremist because I believe in the government as written by our forefathers and as set forth in the Constitution. And some of these extremists to the left have forgotten the Constitution and want to take certain areas of it and certain parts and run the government and the country wholly according to their interpretation of some certain amendment or section of the Constitution. I believe in everyone having his rights protected. I do not believe in discriminating against anyone, though I am from South Carolina. A lot of people would say, oh, well, you're just a rabid Southerner and a right-winger. I'm not a right-winger, I'm not rabid. I just believe in the Constitution as it was written, and I believe that we should live by it today as it was lived by in the beginning. I think we've done pretty well in this country by following it up to this date. So why make so many radical changes in it? And in that regard, I'm reminded of what George Washington said, and I think most of us still believe in his philosophy. Washington said on one occasion that government is not reason, it is not eloquence, but government is force. In other words, it can be good, it can be bad. Force is a wonderful thing to have. Washington went on to say that force, or government, like fire, is a dangerous servant if used in the wrong manner, and it is also a fearful master. Force, our government, is a fearful master if used wrongfully, or it is a dangerous servant. So let's do not make the federal government, let's do not give it so much power as this bill would do, that it could be a fearful master and a dangerous servant. Let's keep it a servant of the people and not let it become the master of the people.
You indicated a few moments ago, and I'd like to get into this a bit further, that even though this bill is labeled a Civil Rights Act, it is not confined to the field of race relations. It would cover many other aspects of American life. Could you give us some examples?
We could talk for an hour and then not cover all of the things, all of the people that this bill controls or that it would have a direct effect upon. For instance, the farmers in this country. And, of course, farmers have been for 30 years or more under somewhat a situation where they were subject to certain government regulations or controls. But it was a different kind of control from what this bill has. It was a control then for another purpose. Now it would be a control of their financial assistance, of the aid that they would that most farmers are dependent upon from the federal government in order to make a livelihood and to make a profit. Farmers in this bill, if they do not comply with the regulations of the Civil Rights Act, they can be forced to hire certain people according to race or religion. They can be told that if you do not racially balance your employees, your federal aid will be taken from you. And even it could go so far as to deprive them of all rights that they already have. Their mortgage might be foreclosed if they discriminate against someone because of race. Things of that kind are not written out in so many words in the bill, but when you compare it and analyze it with other regulations, with executive orders that exist today, you will see that the farmer will be dependent upon the authority of a federal inspector when it comes to operating his farm, and he will be told what he must do or he will not receive any more federal aid. The same thing applies even to bankers. It's unbelievable what a banker The man who operates and owns or controls a bank or a federal savings and loan institution, if he should deny employment, or if this banker should deny a loan or a line of credit to someone, then he would have to show that he did not deny this loan or this credit, line of credit, because of the man's race. He has to come in and prove that he did not do it because of the man's race, which is contrary to all concept of law and regulation in this country. He's presumed innocent ordinarily, but he's got to come in and prove that he didn't do it. And if he can't show it, the federal government can take his FDIC, his Federal Deposit Insurance Authority, away from him. They can deprive him, they can tell that banker, and no doubt they will, if it wasn't true that they intended to do it, they wouldn't want the regulations in this bill so strong. They can tell him, you no longer can handle VA loans, or GI loans, or any loan that the government has any part in, and the government has a big interest in most loans now.
And for that matter, couldn't they tell the banker that you have extended credit to this person or this organization, right, and they are violating the terms of this bill? Cut them off.
That's exactly right. If they don't cut them off, if the bank refuses to cut them off, they can, the government can then, and no doubt will, say you no longer will be insured under the FDIC. He would be hampered in such a manner that it would be most difficult, if not impossible, to operate his bank successfully today.
Congressman Ashmore, I know there are many other ways in which this bill would apply, and I'd like to cover these in a future program if we might.
Well, I would be glad to. I wish that I had time now. I didn't know I was saying so much on some of the points, but I'd be glad to talk with you later and cover the labor union and the school teachers and things of that kind that directly controls.
Fine. We'll be looking forward to that. For the past few moments, we've been talking with Representative Robert T. Ashmore, Democrat from South Carolina, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, in our continuing series of discussions on the proposed Civil Rights Act. If you would like to receive information concerning these civil rights proposals, what they mean and how they would affect you, regardless of where you live in America, write to the address given at the end of this program. We'll be happy to see to it that you receive some descriptive materials concerning the Civil Rights Bill, including an excellent outline written by two past presidents of the American Bar Association, Mr. Lloyd Wright and Mr. John Satterfield. Just write to the address given at the end of this program and say that you'd like to have information on the civil rights bills. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.